Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balaba Gir Vardhari Gopi Jana Balaba Gir Vardhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Balaba Gir Vardhari Jaya Gopi Jana Balaba Gir Vardhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Balaba Gir Vardhari Jaya Gopi Jana Balaba Gir Vardhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Om Shivam Sabadana Dikataya Sisi Madesi Bhaktivedanta Samiraj Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Shivam Sabadana Dikataya Sisi Mabhakti Siddhanta Sasiti Thakur Prabhupada Ki Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. So, Boss Prabhu, what time do we end class? Because we started late today. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 32. Entanglement in fruit of activities, text 29. Yatha mahanahang rupas Shri vrit pancha vidaswarat Ekadasha vidastasya Vapur andang jagad yatha Yatha mahanahang rupas Shri vrit pancha vidaswarat Ekadasha vidastasya Vapur andam jagad yata Yata mahanahang rupas Shri vrit pancha vidaswarat Ekadasha vidastasya Vapur andam jagad yata
Yeah.
Vaishnavis. Yata, as, Mahan, the Mahatattva, Aham Rupa, the false ego, Trivrit, the three modes of material nature, Panchavida, the five material elements, Swarat, the individual consciousness, Ekadashavida, the 11 senses, Tasya, of the living entity, Vapu, the material body, Andam, the Brahmanda, Jagat, the universe, Yata, from which or from whom? Translation, from the total material energy, the Mahatattva, I have manifested the false ego, the three modes of material nature, the five material elements, the individual consciousness, the 11 senses, and the material body. Similarly, the entire universe has come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by Svangase, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord is described as Mahatpada, which means that the total material energy, known as the Mahatattva, is lying at his lotus feet. The origin, or the total energy of the cosmic manifestation, is the Mahatattva. From the Mahatattva, all the other 24 divisions have sprung, namely the 11 senses, including the mind, the five sense objects, the five material elements, and then consciousness, intelligence, and false ego. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of the Mahatattva, and therefore, in one sense, because everything is an emanation from the Supreme Lord, there's no difference between the Lord and the cosmic manifestation. But at the same time, the cosmic manifestation is different from the Lord. The word Swarat is very significant here. Swarat means independent. The Supreme Lord is independent, and the individual soul is also independent. Although there is no comparison between the two qualities of independence, the living entity is minutely independent, and the Supreme Lord is fully independent. As the individual soul has a material body made of five elements and the senses, the Supreme Independent Lord similarly has the gigantic body of the universe. The individual body is temporary. Similarly, the entire universe, which is considered to be the body of the Supreme Lord, is also temporary. And both the individual and universal bodies are products of the Mahatattva. One has to understand the differences with intelligence. Everyone knows that his material body has developed from a spiritual spark, and similarly the universal body has developed from the supreme spark, the supersoul. As the individual's body develops from the individual soul, the gigantic body of the universe develops from the Supreme Soul. Just as the individual soul has consciousness, the Supreme Soul is also conscious. But although there is a similarity between the consciousness of the Supreme Soul and the consciousness of the individual soul, the individual soul's consciousness is limited, whereas the consciousness of the Supreme Soul is unlimited. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 13.3, Chechagyam Chapimam Vidhi, the supersoul is present in every field of activity, just as the individual soul is present in the individual body. Both of them are conscious. The difference is that the individual soul is conscious of the individual body only, whereas the supersoul is conscious of the total number of individual bodies. ओम ज्ञान चिमरंदस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकया चक्षुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. On this disappearance day of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, we can remember by hearing this purport by Srila Prabhupada how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gave Srila Prabhupada the order to preach in this way. And Srila Prabhupada considered that order to be his life and soul, and the difference between his preaching meeting success and others putting effort but not getting any success. Srila Prabhupada attributes it all to his taking the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur as his life and soul. Sometimes, especially these days, but it's always gone on in Vaishnavism, devotees want to feel they're getting some confidential knowledge. They want to feel that they're getting something mystical and that they're getting the highest taste possible, the highest information possible. Srila Prabhupada made it clear what the highest mysticism is in bhakti yoga and what the only secret is, which opens the door to everything. So once you master this mystic secret, then all the other subordinate secrets become revealed to you. And you're singing that every morning. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Kore Aikya Ana Kore Omanayas. My only desire, my heart of heart, is to simply hear the words emanating from his lotus mouth. So Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that supreme mysticism, and then he passed the same thing down to us. He took Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's words so seriously and held to them, even though by material calculation, sometimes those words didn't seem to correspond to what the mundane senses were telling. But Srila Prabhupada nevertheless held tight to the order coming from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He said that from the moment he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and heard the order to preach Krishna consciousness outside of India in the Western countries, he never doubted that order. He took it as his life and soul. It was simply a question of how and when he would do it. Actually, Srila Prabhupada did not take formal initiation until maybe 11 or 12 years later, after that first meeting, in which a friend had to drag him to see Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, because Prabhupada, a young man at that time, was disheartened by so many false sadhus being present in India. His father was very magnanimous and would every evening have some sadhus, someone wearing saffron, some babaji, for dinner. And most of the time, they weren't so bona fide, or they were hodgepodge. So as a young boy, Srila Prabhupada saw that. And so he was thinking, when his friend invited him, there's a marvelous sadhu in town, you should go see him. Srila Prabhupada's attitude was, I've seen enough. Not another one, sorry. But his friend practically dragged him. And then the rest, of course, is history. How he presented to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur that the independence of India should come first. Nationalism of the day. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur immediately tore that idea to shreds and explained that nothing can wait. Nothing can delay Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness, bhakti, waits for nothing. So, at that moment, Srila Prabhupada became, he said, impregnated with the order of the Guru, and from that moment on, he simply began to think how to carry it out. And he never took leave of that order. All the time, he was always thinking of it. In speaking confidentially, Srila Prabhupada once said that he and Krishna had an argument. Srila Prabhupada never doubted the order of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but he thought the way to execute it is to become very rich, and then he could easily spread Krishna consciousness with immense financial resources. Because he had seen so many poor babas, swamis, what can they do? But I have ability to make money, I'll do that, amass a huge fortune, and certainly I'll carry out the order of my Guru Maharaj. So Srila Prabhupada explained that he and Krishna had an argument. Krishna wanted him to do it as a poor man, and Prabhupada wanted to do it as a rich man. So the rest is also history. Srila Prabhupada did it coming to America with practically nothing in his pocket. He said, astrologically, he was, according to astrologers, he should have been one of the richest men in the history of India. But there is something beyond astrology. Actually, if you want to use astrology, if you want to use astrology for devotees, you have to be able to calculate the Krishna Graha. Prahlad Maharaj says in the seventh canto, I'm under the influence of the Krishna Graha, the Krishna planetary influence. So find an astrologer who can calculate that one. Then you get the whole picture. Otherwise, for devotees, sometimes astrology seems to apply, sometimes it doesn't. You just don't know. Disciple in New Zealand, all the big astrologers in India told her, you're never going to have kids, forget it. And she just went to Mayapur, did the Bhakti Shastri course, did the Garbhadhan Samskar, conceived a child there according to the Dharma, and now she has a baby son. So, certainly Srila Prabhupada was under the influence of the Krishna Graha, the supreme planet, Krishna Loka. You want to take into account Venus, Mercury, Mars? Okay, but what about this Krishna Loka planetary influence? How do you calculate that? So, Prabhupada says, I never, ever minimize the order of my spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It was simply how to do it. And because of that order of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we are reading these Bhaktivedanta purports. Now, I'd like to discuss briefly these purports. I don't know how much you can recall of what I read, but let me tell you something from the literary point of view. To write this kind of purport with all this information in a way that provokes the soul towards Krishna, this is very difficult. To get everything there so that devotees on all levels can be inspired. This is so difficult to just talk like this into a dictaphone and just see the whole panorama of Bhagavad Dharma and encapsulate it into a purport. If you know anything about literary work, this is very difficult. And to do it purport after purport after purport, this has to be empowerment by Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said, that empowerment is there because he simply took the order of his spiritual master seriously. Now, sometimes you'll meet Vaishnavas in India who will say, well, you know, your Srila Prabhupada, as you call him, he was a very expert businessman, therefore he was good at marketing the idea of Krishna consciousness. He knew management. Most of us were just simple village boys, didn't even know English. because he knew English, it was logical that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur ordered him. And because he knew English, it was obvious that he would have some success. I say like that. But please understand that Srila Prabhupada would get very angry when he would hear this. Because they missed the point, the mystic knowledge, the secret, the Raja Vidya Raja Guya. What is that secret? Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya, Chite Te Kodiyakya, Ana Kriya Manayas. I don't have any other desire than to take the words emanating from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's lotus mouth. Srila Prabhupada took those words, and that was the active principle of his unfathomable contribution. Now, what's going on in this purport? You have an expanded version of Vedanta Sutra knowledge. Vedanta Sutra is very concise, very encapsulated aphorisms. You'll not be able to become Krishna conscious in this day and age by reading Vedanta Sutra. In fact, even in other ages, it's difficult, so difficult that Narada Muni criticized Vyasadeva in the first canon of Bhagavatam. What you have done so far has not got to the direct point of glorifying Krishna. So therefore, Vyasadeva wrote his own commentary on Vedanta Sutra, and that is Srimad Bhagavatam. This Srimad Bhagavatam is taking the very concise statements of Vedanta Sutra and expanding them so that you'll be enriched in love of God and you'll clearly see Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like, for example, unless you travel all the time and you, or else you're a travel agent, if I just rattle off some abbreviations, SYD, MEL, AKL, of course you know because it's a Sankirtan temple, LAX. But I could rattle off 200 airport codes, which will be meaningless to you. Are you going to England? Are you going to LHR or GTW? Huh? What does it mean to you? But there's a whole world of information behind those abbreviations for anyone who travels a lot or who's a travel agent. These three-letter codes open up a whole storehouse of information. So that is like Vedanta Sutra. Very precise, very compressed knowledge. Janmariya Sutaha. The absolute truth is that from which everything emanates. But what is the nature of that absolute truth? That is pointedly and directly described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedanta Sutra presupposes so much knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam just directly glorifies Krishna. So this purport is an expansion of the Vedanta concept, Anor Aniyan Mahato Mahiyan. That is explicitly stated in the Upanishads. The Supreme Absolute Truth is greater than the greatest and smaller than the smallest. What does that mean to you? It means you should be able to see the Supreme Lord in everything, whether the greatest or the smallest. Generally, most people think God is the greatest. Look at anything that's big, God is bigger. But Vedanta knowledge means also God is the smallest of everything. In other words, wherever you look, whatever you see, you're seeing God. The program of the Krishna Consciousness Movement is to teach you how to experience God. Although the Supreme Lord is beyond the range of your material senses, still if you're trained properly, you can see what is God. Now, how do you see God? That should be your concern. You're here practicing devotional service for what reason? Because you want to train your senses to directly perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That takes time. How to hear Krishna, how to see Krishna, how to taste Krishna, how to feel Krishna. The whole bhakti program here is for teaching you how to feel the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything. Please understand what's going on here. Otherwise, you may become bewildered and just throw away the valuable jewel that's been given to you. Just like if you take an exquisite diamond and you put it in the hand of a 4-year-old child, what is the child going to do? Probably throw it away or put it in its mouth or something. If you don't know the pricelessness of what you have, you can very easily do something that later you'll regret. Let us understand that the process of bhakti yoga is teaching us every day how to see God. But not exactly seeing God with your physical eyes. No, you see Krishna by hearing the holy name. You see Krishna by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. We're having Bhagavatam class now so you can see God. It's not just a ritual you go through. Otherwise, everyone gets on your case. You didn't go to class this morning. No. Bhagavatam class means see God through Bhagavatam. That's the whole purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Our devotional service throughout the day is training your senses, purifying your senses, so that you can experience God. Now, you have to have some eagerness for that. Not that you just go through the day mechanically without understanding what is happening. The more eager you are, the better it is. And Srimad Bhagavatam, if you hear it properly, will increase your eagerness. So, this purport is explaining that you can take the living entity as the small. The conscious, small living entity has a material body. Similarly, the greatest living entity has consciousness and has a material body in terms of the material cosmos. The individual body belongs to the individual limited soul, and the material cosmos belongs to the supreme soul. So, in this way, you can understand how things are functioning. Because of consciousness in your body, because the soul is there, therefore your body is functioning. Similarly, because of supreme consciousness in the cosmos, the natural functions of nature are going on. You're getting educated here how to see and understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how to get a feeling for the presence of the Lord everywhere. But there's one confusing point which requires direction and amplification. Just because you can look at the universe and see it as a gigantic body of the Lord doesn't mean that's it for understanding God. No. Beyond the Lord's presence in the universe as Supersoul is his existence as Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. Just as Lord Brahma describes in Brahma Sanhita, and you sing every morning, Angani Asha Sakalendya Vrittimanti, Venam Kanantam Aravinda Dhaya Daksham. Lord Brahma is telling you, this is how Krishna looks. I'm seeing him, and I'm telling you how he looks. So if you take in Brahma's words, you are also seeing Krishna. There are different levels of intensity in seeing Krishna. I may have explained this before, but it's good to repeat. Everyone is seeing Krishna. Sometimes devotees would, or not so much devotees, yes, they would sort of challenge Srila Prabhupada. Well, where is God? Where is your Krishna? Who can see him? And sometimes Prabhupada would answer, what? You're not seeing Krishna? Like, what's wrong with you? You're not seeing Krishna? You have a particular problem? You're not seeing Krishna? You may say, well, how can he say that? Seeing Krishna? Isn't that only for the Mahabhagavats? Everyone is seeing Krishna, but they're just different levels of intensity. When you drink some water, You think, Rasaham, Apsukontaya, Krishna's a taste in water. You're seeing Krishna. Now, what are you going to say? I think we explained this last time I was here. That is God realization. You're perceiving God. As you become more advanced in Krishna consciousness, those realizations become more intense. The love becomes more intense. So, just like even in an ordinary relationship, the difference between someone who is casually feeling for someone and someone who's so-called head over heels in love is one of intensity. But because of that mundane bhava, that emotional state, when someone thinks they're in love, they see differently from someone who just is casually feeling for someone. In other words, the emotional state of intensity causes a different vision of reality. Now, who's the most expert at displaying this point? Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya shows you the highest absorption in love of God and how such a person sees. However, even the neophyte in bhakti is seeing Krishna. The classic example that Srila Prabhupada gave, and so much of what Srila Prabhupada gave us is simply what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave, just spoken in a different way. One time Srila Prabhupada said that, no one really understood Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's writings. He was writing for me. And in these purports, we get all the information that Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur wanted to give, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to give, in a way that we can process and apply it and easily go back to Godhead. So, Lord Chaitanya is displaying Mahabhava, the highest intensity of seeing things in relation to Krishna, just as Srimati Radharani sees things. This Mahabhava vision is beyond even the ordinary bhava, ordinary meaning the ordinary within Vrindavan, of the most dear devotees of Krishna. But Srimati Radharani, because she's the dearest devotee, has a special bhava, Mahabhava. And Lord Chaitanya demonstrated that. How to see like the gopis see after Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura. How to see like Srimati Radharani saw when Uddhava came to Vrindavan with the message from Krishna. This is what Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating. Just like when Lord Chaitanya was walking outside in Jagannath Puri on the beach, he saw a sand dune, Chataka Parvata. But when he saw that sand dune, he thought, here is Govardhan Hill. And he started running towards the sand dune at the speed of wind. His servant, Govinda, couldn't keep up with him. Lord Chaitanya just took off like that at the speed of wind. And then a loud cry went out as all the devotees were yelling, oh! And they all started running after Lord Chaitanya. And Kaviraj Goswami gives a list of all the devotees who are running after Lord Chaitanya. You see, just by running after Lord Chaitanya, your name is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Otherwise, what is the significance if I say, so-and-so Prabhu was running up Watsika Avenue, and then I give a long list of devotees running after him. You'll say, what are you wasting our time for? But to describe who's running after Lord Chaitanya, as Lord Chaitanya is running towards a sand dune in ecstasy, thinking this is Govardhan Hill, that is something else. So they're all running after Lord Chaitanya. They couldn't catch him. He was running so fast in his ecstasy. Just by seeing a sand dune, he's remembering Krishna. And then suddenly, Lord Chaitanya stops, stunned in ecstasy. This is called stumbha bhava. When the emotional state of love of God becomes so intense, you become stunned. So first he's running at the speed of mind, then he stops cold, stunned, and falls on the ground. and he breaks out in such emotional, ecstatic symptoms. And then the devotees, they finally catch up to him. And when they see him, they begin to cry because Lord Chaitanya is displaying such extraordinary symptoms. All the ashtasattvika, all the eight symptoms of ecstasy were in his, he was showing at once, all at the same time. So the devotees cried and they poured cold water over Lord Chaitanya's body and they began to chant the holy name to bring Lord Chaitanya back to external consciousness. Because Lord Chaitanya, as he would reveal when he came to external consciousness, was seeing Govardhan Hill. As he was running, before he was stunned in ecstasy, he was reciting the Bhagavatam verse. Oh, this Govardhan Hill is the greatest devotee of the Lord. It supplies Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan with so many things, water, grass, minerals, caves, shade. And it's this hill, Govardhan, has become so jubilant because Krishna and Balaram have walked on it with their lotus feet. So he was reciting that verse running towards a sand dune. So after Lord Chaitanya collapsed in ecstasy, the devotees revived him. And then finally, Lord Chaitanya came to consciousness and he was looking all around. Like he was looking for something. Where is Govardhan Hill? Where is Krishna? And then he began to say, you have brought me back from Govardhan Hill. Why did you do that? I had a chance to see Krishna's pastimes. I saw Krishna grazing his cows, walking them up Govardhan Hill. I saw that. I saw the gopis gathering. And then I saw, as Krishna played his flute, the gopis would come closer. And then Krishna entered a cave with Srimati Radharani. I saw this, and one of the gopis said to me, help pick some flowers for the divine couple. I was doing that, and then I heard this loud noise, and you all brought me back here. Oh, why did you do that? Why did you do that? I had a chance to see Krishna's pastimes. This all came just by seeing a sand dune. So how can that be? It happens because of the information described in this purport that Prabhupada's given us, that there's no difference between the Lord and his energy. So therefore, when a devotee who's most in love with Krishna sees the energy of the Lord, he's seeing Krishna. Everything, everywhere he looks, provokes his love for Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating that. What is the Vedanta principle? Shakti, Shakti Mato Abhedam. There's no difference between the energy and the source of all energy. But in Bhagavatam and in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a commentary on Bhagavatam, you actually see what happens in love of Krishna. That everywhere the devotee looks, his Krishna consciousness is provoked. Therefore, Prabhupada would respond, how can you say you're not seeing Krishna? Krishna is everywhere. Now, to see like Lord Chaitanya, that is one thing. But still, even the neophyte is seeing Krishna. If you take Krishna's instructions, you get the same mango. Whether the mango is green or ripe, it's a mango. Now, when the mango is green, it doesn't taste so sweet. But when that same mango ripens, then it is so juicy. So what is that same mango? The process of devotional service. What you are doing now, you'll do in the spiritual world. But now, it may, for you, maybe, taste not so sweet all the time. Therefore, someone has to wake you up in the morning. Someone has to say to you, Prabhu, are you going to do your service? Prabhu, can you please focus a bit more? Prabhu, can you please try to sacrifice a bit more for Krishna? That's the green mango stage. But in time, that green mango will ripen if you continue wholeheartedly in bhakti. And then the taste becomes so sweet. That is when your health comes back. You know your spiritual health comes back when you can't live without hearing about Krishna. You couldn't conceive of life without planning how to serve Krishna. So the same mango is there for the neophyte and for the most advanced devotee. It's just a question of degrees of sweetness. Given time, the green mango becomes ripe. But everyone is seeing Krishna. It's just a question of their intensity of love. Our program here is how to increase the love so that our seeing of Krishna becomes more and more intense as the years go by. So we're very grateful today to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur for inspiring our Srila Prabhupada to give us such a practical and fully knowledgeable process how to experience God. Therefore, today we offer our most humble obeisances at the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and let us pray at his lotus feet, because for the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, our Prabhupada would say that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada is more merciful because the grandfather is more easygoing on the grandchild than the father is. So you can take advantage today. You can appeal to the grandfather or your great-grandfather and, you know, please give us more mercy. Be affectionate to us. Srila Prabhupada said you could do that. So let us definitely do that so that we can take more seriously the wonderful jewels that we have and go on distributing those jewels to others. Because we're seeing God, we want others to also see Krishna. Are there any questions? Yes. Yes, you'd have to take our god brother Ray Bhakti Nandan's word for it, but he said it's in the Prabhupada memoirs. You've heard it from another source that he told somebody else that also. Yes. Also, there is a speech by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who was saying, all right, so many people are reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books. And yes, there's nothing like Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books. But he said, you can recite them word for word and not understand them if you're ignoring the present, in other words, present Acharya and the present Acharya's works. I show that speech to some of my godbrothers, and they were like, what did he have in mind here? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he's very, very powerful. So he went on and on, word after word. Nothing like Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books. They're glorious, they're this, they're that. He wrote them because he had a certain purpose in mind, a certain audience in mind. But you can recite them, the whole book, word for word. You'll not understand them if you ignore how Krishna is appearing now through his devotees. In other words, humbly, he was saying, how can you jump over me? I'm Krishna's devotee. I'm doing Krishna's work now. If you can't understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if you jump over the current manifestation of Krishna's empowered Acharya. So I could see when reading that speech where Srila Prabhupada gets his firmness from. It simply came from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who always took the same line that Prabhupada took. Or Prabhupada took the same line always that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur took. No compromising with so many things. That's simply Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada stuck to it throughout this way, that way, up, down, thick, and thin. He said, that's my qualification. That's my only secret. I stuck to it. Even some of Prabhupada's godbrothers, they would criticize their Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta. He's too heavy. We don't want to bring any sophisticated guests to see him. He'll just chop them and we won't get any donations. Prabhupada said, those who taught like that, eventually they fell down. Falling down in India doesn't simply mean you run out the door and get a girlfriend or a stick of marijuana. It means you fall down from devotional understanding. It means you become a Mayavadi, you become dry and personal, you lose your understanding of bhakti. That's a fall down. Anything else? Yes. It's an interesting point. I had a discussion. Maybe it was Savasrabhu about last year who asked that question. It was Mahatattva. It is true that if you do the process of bhakti mechanically, still results will be there. Srila Prabhupada himself said that even if you follow the process of sadhana bhakti mechanically, you can come to the platform of rag. He said, if you just follow my temple program, if you read Nectar Devotion every day, rag will come to you. So he's emphasizing that if you actually stick day by day, year after year, to the process of bhakti, and even if you're just doing it mechanically, still by your sticking to it, the green mango becomes ripe. At the same time, it is also true that in order to stick, your heart has to be in something. Otherwise, it gets very dangerous when your heart is not invested in an activity. You can easily be blown off course. So, there are different aspects of the same point. You want to stick, your heart has to be there. But if you want, even if somehow the you just stick mechanically. If you actually can stick, still the process will work. All right. Thank you very much. All glory to Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hey, Jutta.